The Voice of Perth.
You're not listening to me. You'll listen to me introduce the next person, and then you will have Dr. Mel Criddle from the Swanbourne Vet Centre take over. It's really good. I'm enjoying this. It's like the next hour, right, where Sue McDougall will just come in, and it's just the ladies you'll hear from with their expertise all afternoon. I just love that, Percy, don't you?
I do indeed. How are you, Barry?
I'm well, mate.
Hi, Percy.
We've got a 8-year-old three-quarter bull mastiff, a quarter American bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been feeding it frozen grapes for years, but I've been told now that I shouldn't be feeding it grapes.
Yeah, a few years ago, Percy, there came this study. It was done in a litter of bull terriers. It basically showed that if they ate grapes, they went into renal failure. And it was one study, and I was always, you know, a bit sceptical, sort of looking at it going, well, it's one breed of dog. I then had a couple of Labradors came in, having eaten a bag of grapes from mum's shopping. And sadly, one of them is no longer with us because it did, in fact, go into acute renal failure. So I guess my advice to clients, Percy, is that, you know, I wouldn't advise it. You know, there's things now, or there's cases showing that grape ingestion certainly can cause acute renal failure, for which, you know, some dogs don't recover. And I would then extend that to sultanas as well. But I guess, if your dog's been eating them for many years, then it's probably not one of those dogs that's going to have a problem. So,
sure.
You know, yeah.
You know those games. Percy, you keep going.
Yeah, it's also been shedding hair constantly, but there's never any bald spots.
Yeah, no, so does my dog. My gosh. They get the house cleaned, and then, like, 2 hours later, there's this layer of dog hair. So, yeah.
Everywhere.
Isn't it frustrating?
It is.
Yeah.
And sorry, one more thing. How's the golf going, Barry?
Golf?
Yeah, I played with you, I guess,
mate,
the Dockers.
The last game of golf I played was with you, Perce. So that's how my golf's going, mate. I don't know if you've heard. I've been sitting in here for too long. Thank you, Percy. Thank you, mate.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have the time to play golf anymore. That sort of look like that early morning opportunity that I used to have, gone. That middle of the day opportunity that I had, gone. So it's just talking about stuff like this, talking about your animals, Les. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Hi, Les.
I just had a question about our method of enforcement, whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah.
We've got a chihuahua, and mm-hmm. we've got a cat flap on the window so he can go in and out to do what he needs to outside.
Yes.
But what we've had to do to keep him sniffing around the kitchen and keeping him out of the bedrooms is put a scat mat across the hallway and mm-hmm. a scat mat around the kitchen.
Yep.
Because nothing else seems to work.
Yeah.
What he does in the bedrooms is he seems to want to pee, and it's only the bedrooms that he does it.
Mm.
Nowhere else in the house. Mm-hmm. The bedrooms is the only place.
Yeah, because he's done it once, and he's thought that was a nice, safe, comfortable spot to do it in, so I'll just keep going back there. So, you've basically got to stop his access to those bedrooms, and if that means keeping doors shut or putting barriers up, you know, and like you said, you know, mats or whatever it takes to sort of prevent him access to those areas, so that you break the habit that's perhaps being created, and then you've got to take him out and show him and encourage him to go where you want him to go.
What about bottles full of water? Like, people put them in the front. Does that work?
The spray, like spray bottles,
yeah.
Have it on the jet. Don't none of this fluffy air, you know, the spray it.
So that works?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, and I suppose that sort of contradicts what I was saying earlier, but it's not sort of harming them. It's just a distraction to sort of get their attention and go, hey, that's not where I want you to be. Yeah, it's not hurting them as such. And then you just, so it stops what they're doing, and you then show them what you want to do. Yeah.
Happy with that?
Yes, thank you.
Good on you, mate. Les? That was Les? Yes, sorry. Kev in Oakford. Hello, Kev.
Yeah, good on you, mate. G'day. We've gone now, Carl, from a pie up to a full lunch that you owe me.
Oh!
By the way.
So you've fed the pie to the dog last week. This week we didn't start talking about...
No, you didn't start anything.
We didn't go there, mate.
At the end of the day, you haven't got back to me. And it's simple as that. That's it. The price keeps going up. You know, you don't pay the bill. Yeah. Anyway, that's all.
Yeah, you're getting off track.
Yeah,
right, back on track.
The first point I would like to raise, and then I have a question. First point is, when you talked about rubbing a dog's nose in it, there's a difference between dabbing a dog's nose and rubbing. Yes, I have used that method to train dogs you touch their nose in it, and you take them straight out the door. Now, I've normally, it's a, like a three, this works from pups right through to, you know, five-year-olds, you know, six-year-olds, probably even older. I've never tried on an old dog, but I've never ever had a failure, and you don't have to hurt the dog to do it. But trust me, you know, if somebody goes and puts your nose in it, you wouldn't be all that happy about it either.
No, absolutely not, Kevin. Yeah.
Right, and I guess that's where... straight out the door.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, you know, I certainly find everyone's got their own ways, and I'm not here to, you know, sort of say there's never, ever just one way. And if you've had success, you've got your way, like you say, you're not doing it in a way that harms them, you've had positive outcome, then yeah, I'm not, you know, not going to change that. Yeah.
No, that's fine. It's not cruel to them. It's just saying, so they're reminded that the reminder is that, hey, I did do that, you know,
and
absolutely. Then it's out the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, my question is, comes back to chickens.
Yeah.
How many eggs is a chook supposed to lay per day?
What sort of chooks? What sort of chickens have you got?
There's a lot of different chooks, Kev.
I know. And I guess this is a hard question to answer, Kevin, because it can depend on the breed of chicken. It can depend on...
The Isa Browns,
yeah. I mean, some chickens, even though they're a certain breed and they're known to lay, you know, one egg every day, you'll still get individual variations. So I guess, you know, you're probably lucky if you're getting one, you know, if you're getting an egg every day. What are yours doing?
Right, well, I've got 10 eggs for one day out of four chook.
Cool. That's very good.
Yeah, well, I know that. I'm starting to feel like an egg at the present time.
Hey, you can bring me some eggs, Kev.
Yeah.
What, you're going to cook an omelette?
Just drop some. Well, mate, I love omelettes. Absolutely. I'm an egg man, mate. I eat eggs any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
I've got chives out the back, which are a garlic chive, and chop up a bit of feta and a couple of eggs, whip them up and just chuck all that stuff in, a little bit of pepper and salt. Beautiful. Kev, do that.
They sound like they're well-producing chickens. Yeah, no, that's really good. I was going to say, you know, if you can get something, you know, an egg every day from a chicken, that's pretty good. Some of them go for, you know, they do one a week, or some, you know, never lay and they're supposed to.
Sounds like he's loving his chooks. You're doing the right thing, Kev. Thank you, mate.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Don't forget lunch.
No, I won't forget. I'd love to have a lunch. You know what? I haven't had a lunch for 3 weeks. Not for 3 weeks. Tomo, how are you?
Good, Carl. How you going, Mel?
Yeah, good. Hi, Tomo.
Hey, listen, I've got a white male bull terrier.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2 years old.
Yes.
As soon as the sun comes out, he grabs his little cushion,
mm-hmm.
takes it out in the sun, lays on his back until his nose gets all red and sore.
They now, love it, don't
chance,
they?
Oh, is there any, can I just put zinc on there or sunscreen?
I suggest the Hamilton's toddler milk, and, yeah, he is going to be a breed, just the, you know, so his breed and what he's doing, he's going to be a high risk for squamous cell carcinoma or skin cancer later on in life, Tomo.
Yeah,
so,
he just lays on his back and just...
I know, and they get red hot, and they still don't come inside. No, so yeah, I'd get a Hamilton's toddler milk. I tend to find the zinc goes everywhere. You can put zinc on them, but he's probably going to lick that. So I'd sort of smear his belly in the sun cream, but get the toddler milk one so it rubs in quite well, and I'd do that just to try and you know, delay or avoid the potential for squamous cell carcinoma later on in life.
No worries. Thanks for that.
No worries.
Thank you, Tomo. Again, we've got to clear some commitments, and then Peter and many others are waiting, and it is only 13 minutes left. It's 13 to 2.
Sports Today.
Donny Pike, Don, ovals are ovals, but this is a unique shape, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, Brett. Yeah, you know, it's obviously nearly 50 metres from the back of the square to the goal, so it's shortest way home down the middle, and it's quite wide, so we've acknowledged that. We've done a bit of work on what it looks like in terms of size, that have played well there, and we'll probably make Buffy do it. He's ground that's slightly different dimension. You make a couple of minor tweaks, but fundamentally you'll play the same way.
Sports Today, tonight from 6 on 882 6PR, the voice of
With the new Colorado, Holden's reinvented the truck. To see what people think of it, we reinvented the truck stop.
G'day.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Welcome to the truck swap. How about we swap you out of this truck and into the new Holden Colorado?
Okay.
It's pretty flat.
Interior's nice.
Hey, it's got some serious takeoff.
It feels like a smaller car to handle.
What are your thoughts?
Do I have to give these back?
I'm sold.
I'd drive that.
The new Holden Colorado is here. To find out more,
pull into the truck swap at holden.com.
If you or someone close to you needs help to stop meth taking control, free counselling and support is available. Call the Meth Helpline on 1800 874 878 or visit drugaware.com.au.
On Work Life Money with Ross Greenwood.
The Assistant Commissioner at the Australian Tax Office, Debbie Rawlings, they say that there could be some $11.7 billion sitting in lost superannuation accounts right now.
There's nearly 600,000 accounts across Australia that actually are waiting for someone to say, they're mine, let's put it into my current account and make the most of that money.
Download the podcast now at worklifemoney.com.au. Work Life Money, thanks to Australian Super. Find out how to access your super at 56. Visit australiansuper.com/56matters.
If you're a tradie and need to hire
a plate compactor
or a
portable generator,
you need to know that it'll be
delivered to the site
and that it'll be
on time
if you need it for
just a couple of days should do it,
or even
at least a couple of months.
You'll be backed up by
round-the-clock support,
whether it's
a landscaping job
or
powering the school down the road.
From
the smallest one you've got, thanks,
to
the biggest you got,
you can count on Coates Hire to make it happen. Coates Hire, 13 15 52. Let's make it happen.
Final lots are selling at Thomas Mews Lakes Estate. Don't miss your chance to seize this rare opportunity. Premium residential land in the heart of Guelop, just minutes away from beaches, shopping centres in the CBD, and right next to a pristine nature reserve and Lake Karrinup Country Club. We can even help with finance. To make an appointment, call Ross on 0418 644 156. Or visit Thomas Mews online.
In 2014, the Dockers finished the season fourth. Last year, first. This year, well, let's not dwell on that. The point is, a lot can change in a few short years. Like Synergy, we can now provide your business with competitive offers, product options, and great customer service, giving you more choice and control than ever. Find out why Synergy is better for business at synergy.net.au/perfectpartner.
ABC Blinds sale into summer is on now. 40% off panel blinds, 30% off roller, Roman and timber blinds, and heaps more in store. Entertaining style this summer.
Now on 882 6PR, this is Carl Langdon.
And we've got 10 minutes of Dr. Mel Criddle from the Swanville Vet Centre. Any issues that you may have with your animals too, and you want to try to find out some further information because we can't squeeze you in today, or you didn't quite get what you needed, or you've been listening in and you want to find out more, then give Mel and her team a call at the Swanville Vet Centre. You'll find them online. Brad Hall is the duty forecaster, bom.gov.au, with the weather. I hear it's raining out there, Brad.
Yeah, it looks like out the window too, Carl.
I can't see outside, mate. I'm stuck in the back of the office here and there is no window to see outside.
Oh, that's why we've got some good windows here at the Bureau to see what's going on. So, yeah, the showers are rolling through. They started just around midday. Expect those showers to continue throughout the afternoon, increasing a little bit in the evening as the main band of the cold front moves through. But I'd say by the end, by early morning, or close, actually more like midnight, should ease up. And then moving into Friday, partly cloudy day, it'll be a cold start to the day, minimum around 6 degrees, high of 17 degrees. And then fine conditions on Saturday. Also, another cold morning, 5 degrees overnight, and a maximum of 19 degrees. And then mostly sunny day, I guess, on Sunday, before the showers increase in the afternoon, with expected, another cold front moving along the southwest on Sunday into Monday.
Now, you know what? I've just opened up your radar here, and from Pierce, Perth, Serpentine, Narrogin, Collie, Bunbury, Busselton, Cape Naturalist, Margaret River, Augusta, Bridgetown, I sound like that song, Bridgetown, Manjimup, Penderbin, Windy Harbour. Oh, gee, I rode in there one day. It was 65 knots southwesterly blowing. That was hard. Walpole down to Albany and Esperance. It's raining in all of those locations as we speak.
Yeah, that's right. Radars are handy for that. Yeah. Keep watching them.
I will. And I know where to find you, bom.gov.au, for all the latest weather, right?
That's correct.
Good on you. Brad Hall there, duty forecaster. Let's go back to these calls, Mel, before we run out of time. See, you didn't think an hour would be long enough. You thought half an hour you'd struggle. Peter in Ballajur. Hello, Pete.
Hi, Carl. Hi, Mel. How are you going?
Hi, Peter. Yeah, good, thank you.
Good. My wife and I have inherited a couple of little dogs, a Shih Tzu and another little one.
Yeah.
Shih Tzu's got a strange eating habit where she won't eat unless the food is poured out of the bowl on the mat, and then she'll pour it off the mat onto the floor.
Yes, yeah.
And won't eat any other one.
Yeah. How old is she, Peter? Do we have a rough idea?
I think about five or six.
Okay. And do you know her history? Do you know what sort of household and environment she's come from, or not at all?
Oh, it was my mother-in-law's, very much an inside dog, always, you know. So she was always home all the time with them.
And certainly, I guess we certainly do see, you know, some of these behavioural issues associated with feeding, and sometimes it can actually stem from the way that they were, you know, fed. And if they've, you know, for example, a puppy sort of being a bit difficult and fussy, and so mum, you know, starts to, or dad, starts to hand feed, and then suddenly they don't want to eat out of a bowl. They want to, you know, always be constantly hand fed. So some of these behaviours can be, have been around for some time and can be hard to break. I guess you can, dogs good in the fact that they're not so stubborn as cats, in that if they're hungry enough, they'll eventually give in and eat, you know, food as you want them to. But if she's actually, will she pick it out of the bowl herself, Peter, or are you having to tip it out?
She'll have to tip it out.
And the other issue with the other dog is, you know, sometimes they'll go and eat the food and then it's all gone. So I guess it depends on, you know, on how you want to address this. You can either be, you know, I'd probably separate the two and try and re-establish some normal feeding if you can, by feeding her in a separate spot and you put it in a bowl. Maybe try a few different bowls. You know, some dogs prefer a plastic bowl over a stainless steel bowl or something like that. But sometimes as well, you know, dogs actually enjoy the foraging of, you know, getting food, and it can actually stem from that. So sometimes you do just have to, you know, almost give in and just sort of say, all right, well, the dog doesn't want to eat from a bowl, it eats from the floor, and we sort of, you know, sprinkle it around, and that gives them something to do, almost, you know, going back to their primitive days in the wild. So, but I think with the issue with two dogs, my first advice would be to perhaps try and separate the feeding, and as I said, try a few different bowls, try a few different foods, and see if you can re-establish some normal feeding pattern.
Okay, we actually have separated them a couple of times, and they both won't.
It's amazing what a bit of competition does. So,
Thanks, Pete, for your call. Sorry to cut you off. We've got one more quick one from Pete and Aranda. Pete, you got 30 seconds.
No worries. Hey, I was just calling real quick to comment about training dogs in regards to rubbing their nose in it.
Yeah.
I trained mine. I got a Staffy, and my last dog was a bulldog, pit bull cross Staffy.
Yeah.
And he, like, I did it to him once when my first dog.
Yeah.
On the advice of my sister's boyfriend.
Yep.
And I've never had to smack a dog, ever.
Yeah.
I've done it to this dog now, and he's the best dog.
Yeah.
I don't let him eat before me.
Yeah.
I don't let him walk through doors before me.
Good, very
and,
good.
Yeah, he can't bark. If I'm eating, he can't watch me eat.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And he loves me, and he's a loved dog. Yeah. You just got to show him boundaries, and they respect you for
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, absolutely. And certainly, you know, there's different ways of doing that. And like people have called out, there's lots of success, you know, in that way. It's just probably not my first line of training, but definitely an option.
See you, Pete. Thanks for your call. Thanks to everyone else. Thank you to you, Mel.
My pleasure.
That's an hour.